Do you want to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 13, chapter 13? That's where we're going to camp out for a bit. Okay. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk to you about Revelation. Everything that you have that's worth anything in this world has come because you received Revelation and you believed it. So your salvation came because you got the revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and died for your sins. And you believed it. You got saved. You receive your healing by believing he's the healer and putting faith in it. I love being in a Pentecostal church. You introduced all of us to how God is a healer and how God moves by his Spirit. It's fantastic to be in the birthplace of the things of the Spirit in the Pentecostal church. You receive provision because you believe that God is your provider and you put faith in it. Revelation is therefore core to everything that we have that's of value. We can work as hard as we like, but we know that what the Lord honors is the things that he gives, and we receive them by hearing the word and believing it. So I want to talk today about how do we get revelation? What is revelation all about and how do we get it? In Luke 1:37, there's these words. It says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. The word nothing is actually two words in the Greek. And actually means no rhema. So it means no rhema. Now rhema is the Greek word for the fresh word of God. So what it's saying is no freshly spoken word of God will be impossible. Now impossible means without ability. So what it's saying is no freshly spoken word of God will be without ability. What it's saying is that every word that God speaks that's freshly spoken carries with it the ability to achieve that which is spoken. Am I losing you? Or am I keeping you? So the word itself has the power to achieve that which it said. So when God at the beginning said, "Let there be light," what happened? There was light. Why? Because the word that was spoken contained with it the ability to do what it said. All through creation, God speaks, it happens. And that's the very nature of what God has for us. In James 1, verse 21, it says, "Receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So receive with a humility the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. What is able to save your soul? The word. Because the word carries with it the ability to do that which is spoken. What's our job? To receive with humility. Okay? It's the word that achieves what is spoken. Our job is to receive with humility. Now, what does it mean to receive with humility? What does it look like to receive a word with humility? Well, we know what it is to be humble before the Lord. And that is to prefer him and his will to our will. If we're humble before another person, we prefer their will to our will. And we choose to put ourselves in a lower position. What does it mean, though, to be humble to the word? How can we be humble to the word? How can we receive a word in humility? Let me try and put some flesh on this. Revelation 1:3 says this. It says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy." Okay. What do you have to do to get the blessing? This is interactive. What does it say there? What have you got to do to get the blessing? Read aloud. Okay. Do you have to understand it? No. Just got to read it. What the writer here is saying is that there is a blessing in reading aloud the words of the prophecy, irrespective of whether you understand it. And to be honest, large chunks of Revelation, I'm not sure if I quite get. I've looked at it, I've thought about it, but I don't quite get it. But I believe there's a blessing if I read it aloud, because it says it. If we live our Christian life simply by what we understand with our minds, God begins to look like us. So if all your understanding of God, so if everything about God you'll accept is what you'll understand, then God looks like what you think he is. I don't want God to look like what I think he is, because my mind is not perfected. It's in the process of perfection, but it's not perfected. So, another way of putting it is this. Jesus has just broken the loaves and the fishes. He has the biggest crowd following him he's ever had. And he starts a sermon. He starts the sermon by saying, I'm the bread who's come down from heaven. A number of people took a lot of offense at this phrase, I'm the bread that's come down from heaven. And they began wandering off. But Jesus didn't stop there. He says, you have to eat my flesh. He says, you have to eat my flesh if you want to have eternal life. And a large chunk of the congregation starts to walk away, because what does he mean, eat his flesh? Is he saying we've got to be cannibals? Is he saying we've got to actually eat him? And if that weren't enough, Jesus takes it the next step. He says, and you've got to drink my blood. Oh my goodness me. You know, all the Old Testament rules, you can't drink the blood of an animal, all of these things. And not only that, he's saying drink the blood, his blood, if you want to have eternal life. And because it was so difficult, and because they didn't understand it, they walked away. Jesus turns to the disciples and says to them, what about you? Where are you going? And Peter says this amazing thing. He says, where do we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Peter realized that whilst he may not understand in his mind what Jesus was saying, when Jesus spoke, he came alive. He recognized the presence of God on Jesus' words, even though his mind couldn't understand it. There's something about Christian living where we have to embrace things we don't necessarily understand. Have you ever read a verse and the verse just, it screams out to you, like your spirit suddenly gets lifted by this verse, but you can't for the life of you explain what it means? Is that me? Anyone else? Yeah? Anyone else? Yeah? That is the Lord speaking to you about that verse, even though your mind hasn't caught up. The Holy Spirit communes with your spirit, and he highlights the things of the God to you. And the idea is that our mind is trained by the things of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. But yet so often in Christianity, we start with what I understand as the filter to what's true. Whereas God is actually trying to take us the opposite way. He wants his spirit to speak to our spirit to educate our mind, to transform the way we think. Successive moves of God are stopped or resisted by the previous move because the previous move have an idea, a concept of what God is, and when he begins to move outside of that concept, they reject it. So the Pentecostals had to come through adversity from everybody else condemning them to stand up for the revelation about the gifts of the Spirit, healing, speaking in tongues, and all of these things which we now walk in as normal. But it's because the previous generation had a concept and an understanding of where God was, and that was their limit. But yet God was moving on to new things, and he required a people who were hungry to listen to his voice in order to move out from where they understood and embrace something they knew God was breathing on, and then they received understanding as a result. And to a certain extent, what this verse is saying about being humble is embracing the mystery when we don't always understand exactly what's being said, but we know that God is speaking, and allowing our spirit to speak to our mind to give us understanding rather than rejecting it. Is that clear? Ish. You get in there. Mahesh Chavda, who is one of the believers, an Indian believer who is in America, he says, you don't study the Word of God, the Word of God studies you. And there's something about when God speaks, he wants to see what your heart is like to receive it. And so as you receive a word that the Spirit is speaking on and is highlighting to you, it's testing you to see what is your reaction to that word. Okay. Let's start at verse 10. Just bear that in mind as we start this verse. There are a few core parables in Scripture which provide basically foundation or building blocks to understanding a lot of the kingdom. And this is one of the absolute core parables. Understanding this parable gives you such a lift in understanding the other things of the kingdom. And what Jesus does is he actually explains this parable, which is very rare. I can't think at the moment another parable he explained in the same way as he explained this one. He was absolutely keen that his disciples fully grasped what he was saying in this parable. So he explains it. Let's start at verse 10. Then the disciples came to speak to him. Why do you speak to them in parables? I got the next one, yeah. Why do you speak to them in parables, they ask. If you were at school and you sort of asked your RE teacher, why did Jesus speak in parables? The answer was always, well, to help people understand the parables. He spoke about them in sort of farming terms so they would understand them. Well, if you read on, it's clear that that is not the purpose of parables. The purpose of parables is not to illustrate truth, but to hide truth. Jesus purposely goes on to explain how, actually, the whole purpose of parables is not to reveal what the truth is, but to hide truth for those people who are hungry enough to look for it. Proverbs said it's for the glory of God to hide a thing, and for the glory of kings to find it out. There's something about us stepping into our kingly position that he's called us to. He's called us to be a kingdom or kings and priests. There's something about us stepping into that kingly position in order to find the revelation that the Lord has hidden in these things. Why does he hide it? Well, when you get a revelation, there becomes a responsibility that attaches to that revelation. The Lord in his mercy hides things, because as you get a revelation of it, you then are having a responsibility to respond appropriately to that revelation. And so the Lord hides things in his mercy for those who are hungry, because those who are hungry will also want to dig it up and actually obey and do what it says. So Jesus is explaining to the disciples this parable, but hasn't explained to the crowds, because the disciples are the hungry ones. They're the ones who are being discipled. They're the ones who are being in training. So let's start. I'm not going to read all of the initial parable. Let's look at the explanation. And as we look at the explanation, it will catch up with the actual text itself. So let's start at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what is sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Okay. So the first type of soil that Jesus talks about is he talks about the soil that doesn't, talks about the seed that doesn't land on soil. And what he says is that anybody hears the word of the kingdom, but doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and takes it away. Now, the key to understanding this entire parable is in this word understand. So we know that if you don't understand it, the evil one can snatch the seed away. So you need to know what understand means. Understanding here, in this context, that's the birds of the air, in case you wondered. Understand in this context means to, it carries the meaning to understand with your five senses. So your touch, your taste, your hearing, your seeing. It's the idea, it carries with it this notion that you are understanding it with your five senses. But what does this mean? What it means is that you can't simply understand God's word as a mental process, but it has to become part of your day-to-day experience. Let me illustrate. Let's say if I gave you a word, a great revelation about looking after the poor, okay? And you felt that God was speaking to you in that entire sermon, and you said, yes, that was God speaking. I'd sensed the Spirit on that word. I know it was the word of God. I know it was the right thing. And let's say you do nothing about it. And you don't respond to it. You don't start giving to the poor. You don't start spending time with the poor. You don't do anything that practically puts in place that word. Then what happens is the word that has been thrown out is liable to be stolen. Because you haven't put it into practice in your day-to-day life. In order to have the seed planted so that it can't be stolen, you have to take that word and put it into place in your day-to-day life. And you have to do it fairly quickly. The trouble is that where it's stolen from, it says it's stolen from your heart. So the word has gone out, you believed it, you haven't responded to it. It then gets stolen from your heart, but it doesn't get stolen from your mind. It's perfectly possible for you to hear a sermon about, say, looking after the poor and believe it in your mind, but do nothing about it. And if you don't do anything about it, the seed gets stolen because it's not been buried. And because it's stolen, you still hold in your mind the notion that it's good to give to the poor, it's good to look after the poor, but you're not doing it in your day-to-day life. What's happened is that you've actually become religious. Because religion is a form of thinking and doing things, but without the power to change lives. And so, the importance of actually practically putting into place the things of the Lord, when you hear them and get the revelation, is key. Because otherwise they get stolen, but you never know they're stolen because you still agreed with them in your mind. Somebody can give you that same sermon and you'll go, yes, I agree 100%. 100% agree with that sermon. But because it hasn't become part of your day-to-day life, it's not gone deep in your heart and it's not changing the way you do life. It's not changing the world around you because you haven't put it in place after you received the revelation. Our Western world is absolutely fixated with what you know. You can be a professor of business studies at a top university and never have run a business yourself. Why? Because we elevate theory above practice. That's not all wrong. It's not all wrong. You know, I like academia, but it's at the same time, we miss the point in this. We're all about theories and concepts and understanding something in our mind, but less about the practicalities of actually doing what we hear. One word that's sowed that you do will yield fruit, far more than 100 words you've heard and do nothing about. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, can you realize times when you've received a word and you've responded to it by doing it straight away and you've seen fruit? Yeah? Can you at the same time realize that there are times when you've had a word and you've not done something about it and it's not borne fruit? Yeah? Okay. Absolutely key. We need to be putting into practice immediately the things that we hear of the Lord to make sure it doesn't get stolen from our hearts. Okay? Right. That was that. Right, the next one. Verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. So you've got rocky ground here. And this person immediately hears the word and receives it with joy. Yet because he has no root, it endures for a while, but when tribulation arises or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. Okay? What causes the persecution? We'll have a look at your verses and tell me what causes the persecution. Sorry? The word. That's what it says. It says because of the word. So on account of the word, the persecution comes. That doesn't sound very fair, does it? You get a word and then persecution comes. What the Lord is trying to do when he gives you a word, that word carries with it the ability to achieve what is spoken. That's what I established at the beginning. So when he gives you a word, it has within you the power to achieve what is spoken. And what the Lord wants to do is he wants to establish the authenticity of what he said in your life by allowing that word to overcome the enemy in that area. So let me give you an Old Testament example. The Lord made his people very fruitful. It says Psalm 105:24. The Lord made his people very fruitful, and he made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people. So turned the foes' hearts to hate his people to deal craftily with his servants. What the Lord is doing is he's raised up Israel. He's made them fruitful, and then he's raised up the enemy against them. Why has he done that? Because he wants Israel to step into their God-given purpose and defeat the enemy. Okay? When he brings you a word, that word is designed to defeat the enemy in your life. So he gives you a word, and then he rises up the enemy, because that word has the power to defeat the enemy in your life. And what he wants to do is prove to you the truthfulness of his word. And when he does that, you will see the enemy defeated. But yet, if you turn around too quick, the moment you see the enemy and say, oh, this is too much trouble for me and run away, then you won't see the enemy defeated. And what he's saying is that there are people who receive the word, they understand it, they put it into practice, the enemy comes to knock them out, and they don't stand on the word, but they run away. Okay? That's what he's talking about with this type of stone. Then he says, okay. Now, The type of stony ground he's talking about, okay? There's something about the stoniness of ground often relates to issues that are on in our hearts. So if we have bitterness and unforgiveness and those kind of things in our heart, that is the stony ground that needs breaking down in order for there to be good soil. So those kind of issues, the bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, and all those things mean that when a seed is sown and the enemy comes, you don't have the ability to fight back because these issues have not been resolved. And there's just an importance in dealing with the stones, as it were, the things that need breaking down in our lives, whether they be unforgiveness, whether they be resentment, whether they be bitterness, whether they be any of these things, breaking them down, because those things will not enable you to stand when the enemy comes. Those things will actually sort of stop your ability to fight because they need dealing with. All clear? Okay. Thorny ground. Verse 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. What's he talking about? What he's saying is that you've got a heart that receives the word, but it also receives other things as well. So it receives the word of God, but it also receives other words as well. Now, the point about our society, although we may not all be rich within our society is rich. The options you have in any given situation are numerous. If you're not feeling well, you have a number of options available to you. Some of you can go to the chemist and just buy something over the counter. Most of you can go to the doctor on the NHS and see him. Some of you will have private health. You can go to your private health. Some of you will have, something else as well. The options are numerous. And it's not that options are bad. It's just, there's something about just hearing what God is saying in any situation. And often we can exhaust all our options before we turn to the Lord, as opposed to turning to the Lord first and asking what he wants us to do. You see it particularly in, you can see it sort of on a macro scale. So you have missionaries that go into Romania when Ceausescu's in power and they have to smuggle Bibles in, and there's a real oppression and on the Christians there. You'll see the churches are filled to the rafters every Sunday, people passionately pursuing the Lord in that time of opposition. They come out of that and they come into a period where there's a freedom and a free market and all these kind of things. Church attendance just slides. Why is that? Because there's now options. And there's something about, in the place of options, choosing the one option, being Jesus. And we've all got masses of options. We can all do our life in many different ways. We've got so much freedom in this country. But there's something about just choosing him and looking to him each time rather than reviewing all our options. And this is what he's talking about, that there is a word that can come in, but then we have so many options and so many other words that compete with it that those other things can choke the one thing, the word that God has given you in that situation. And it's just being aware that we do live in a privileged time, but at the same time we live in a time where the need to come to the Lord is so much greater. And that's probably one of the biggest sort of hurdles you're all going to face, is just these options that you have day to day. So it's just setting in your heart the one thing. You get the word, you receive the word. And all those options you put to one side because you just rely on what is said. Yeah? Okay. The last one is the one where we all want to be at. He sows in good soil. So there's a heart that's humble. There's a heart that receives the word. It doesn't have the stony issues. He doesn't have the issues of unforgiveness and things like that in his heart. and just receives it. Puts it into practice. He's not fussed about the other options. He just wants the one option. And then there's fruit. 30, 60, 100 fold. And that's where we want to be. Every word of God that is spoken to you carries with you the ability to yield 100-fold fruit, or 30 or 60. You have the ability to change communities, nations, because of a word spoken. We've seen so much at our church of the healing of the Lord. You know, we've seen creative miracles. We've seen bits of back be returned. We've seen, you know, deaf ears opened. We've seen all of these things. And there's just this core thing that we hold on and we're hungry for. What is God doing? So we hear the word, we receive it, and then there's a fruit and a harvest that flows from it. And I think I just want, what I want to do, I'm going to draw this to an end, and I do want to spend some time with you guys, because I just feel that the Lord has got things he wants to do amongst us today. But what I want to do is that I want to respond to the word. And I don't know, if you know that there are words that have been spoken into your life that you've not put into action, I just believe there's a time for a second chance to put these into action and see fruit from them. So if that's you, you feel that you've had a word spoken that you've not put into action, I just want you to stand. I'd be standing. I am standing. But if there's a word that you know that God has spoken that you haven't put into action, it might be evangelism. It might be giving to the poor. It might be something else. Just stand now. Okay. Everyone else done all their words. I'm not asking you to search deep. I'm just asking if the Lord puts his finger on something. Okay, I want to pray with you guys first. Lord, I just pray for the second chance. That the word spoken, Lord, that you will give chance to put into action, that it grow fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. You can sit down. If you've got too many options, if you realize that's you, that when something comes, you've got too many options, just stand. Just stand. This is not there's no judgment when you, the Lord just wants to get us all steering in the right way. It may be an unusual way to do it in this place, but if there's things that you know that when you have something come up that you're looking at all the options rather than just looking at the Lord, then there's a grace today just to see that dealt with. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you bring grace, Lord. And Lord, thank you for all the blessings you poured on these people's lives, Lord. But Lord, just pray for grace to choose the one option that's you each time, Lord. And just to narrow the scope just to you. Amen. Amen. And thanks. Please sit down. Okay. Anybody when I spoke about the stony ground, they just feel that there's some stuff in their life that needs breaking up. I don't know whether it is resentment, bitterness, any of these things. If that's you, then just stand up. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. That's fine. I just want you to take a moment, just to say sorry to the Lord for the things you're holding. That's all it's going to take. Just take a moment, say sorry for the things you're holding. Lord, you've seen these people stand. And Lord, it's brave to stand for a word like this. And Lord, you see their heart and you love them all the more for it. And Lord, thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Break that ground up now, Lord, so that the soil is soft and able, Lord. Lord, just remove those big stones now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brilliant. Thanks, Raj. Right, Danny, you've got some things, haven't you?
Yeah.
At our, let me just give you a word of introduction. Our place where we worship, we just make time for the Lord to do things. Now, we will, every week we see the sick healed. Every week, without doubt. We'll see at least half a dozen people healed of all sorts of things. And to be honest, the people who do the healing are often the congregation. Yeah? So, you go first, and then I'll add some other stuff. Yeah?
Okay. As we were praying, coming up to the church, there's one thing that I wanted to pray for, one that I just got for Jim, and for your congregations, that the Lord does want to move this church to a deeper level of intimacy and the word of the Lord, and there's areas of trust. And God is saying, trust him. You know, trust who he sent, this man of God. Trust him. Yeah? And as you trust him, you're honoring the Lord. But it's going to be a deeper level. There'll be more people coming into this church that he needs hands. He needs people. Moses had people, you know, to lift him up. And I believe that as you do this, as you step out into your calling, what God has in this church for you, that God is going to honor you. So that was you, Jim. He's going to do amazing things. And I felt that, you know, about the roof, a lot of people were disappointed what happened with the roof. But God was saying that in spiritually, he's taking the roof off. He's taking the roof off. That he's going, you know, he wants to move you forward as a church in this area. There was a picture I got of, there's somebody that has actually working, he's been working really, really hard, and that it just seems like that he's been, climbing the ladder and falling back down again, and he's looking for a promotion. Whoever that is, who's been struggling and not seem to be getting anywhere, in the job, but knows that God, you know, is calling him. It's more or less you're striving. You're striving to achieve something. Please stand up, whoever that person is today, in the workplace. Yeah? Great. I felt that the Lord was saying that to you, that he wants you to rest. He wants you to relax and stop striving. And that God, there's a promotion coming to you. There's a promotion. God is promoting you today. And I will testify with that because my husband, which I'll send over now, my husband is a solicitor. And he went through the same thing. But God said, promotion is coming to you. You'll have a word with my husband and he will pray with you on that.
Well, I'll pray for you now because I had just that. I had sort of a couple of years of being passed over for partnership. And I was doing everything I could do. And the Lord in the end said, look, you've got to stop striving. There's a grace that I'm going to give you for it. And when you stop, I can work. So if it's all right by you, I'm going to release that to you now. Lord, I just release grace for promotion. That there is no struggle because it's all about what you've done. And I just release that now in Jesus' name. Amen. William.
Also, has anybody been suffering on the left-hand side of their shoulder with pain? Left hand on the shoulder.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Also, ear. Troubling with the ear. Problems with his ear. Anybody here? Irritating? No? Also, I wanted to pray really for people who have had a traumatic experience. God wanted, it's just going over in your head. All the time. All the time. The Lord wants to bring healing to that area. He wants to set you free today. Anybody? No?
Yeah? One there. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Brilliant.
William, I'll tell you what. Are you all right to come up here? Come up here. Just on this front. Do you want to come forward as well? Fantastic. Well, you can come and sit down. Come and sit down up here. You're a fantastic pianist, by the way. Is anybody else here who wants healing today? Anybody else who's sick, got anything wrong with them they want healing for? Yeah, come forward. Anybody else have anything wrong with their body that they want healing? That's great. Come on forward. Right. Okay. Anybody else got anything wrong? I mean, anything. I mean, I'm up for pains in arms, legs, anything. Muscle pain, anything. You don't have to be serious. But there's something what the Lord is doing.
I was on your, you know, what a statement. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God that can heal you today and set you free. He raises the dead and he heals the sick and he can set you free today. And as you hear the word today, do you believe it? And if you believe it, this is the day of stepping out and taking your healing today. So I'd say today, don't just sit in. If God is speaking to you, like the word he said, don't let the enemy just steal it away. Step out and take it.
Okay. Who's never prayed for the sick and seen them healed? Has everybody prayed for the sick and seen them healed? Okay. Hands up if you haven't seen the sick healed when you pray for them. Okay. Come up front. You're coming to join us. You're our ministry team. Come on up.
Yes.
Right. Who else has a passion for healing the sick? Come. Who else has a passion for healing the sick? Brilliant. Right. Can I have you? Because you've got this word of knowledge. Can I have you come up here? Now, your left shoulder pain, aren't you? Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Okay. Right. So, Lord, we do thank you that you have done something, Lord. We ask, Lord, you complete this work now. I command all pain to leave. Your assignment is cancelled. Anything that is afflicting, I command you to let go now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I release you.
From my sin.